Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast here on the Pitchless Podcast Network. My name is not Jake Crumpler, who usually does the weekdays. I am taking for him all this week. So you've got nonstop Carson Picard action here on the Pitchless Podcast's First Pitch Podcast. And I will be your host all of this week, which I'm excited and a little terrified to do. So let's get into everything baseball related from this past Sunday. And we will start with the news and notes. As always, that has not changed. Couple minor injury updates to note. The big headline news here is Shohei Ohtani will be officially taken off the mound for the rest of July and likely into mid-August. There isn't an exact timetable, but they said that he would miss a handful of turns in the rotation. So an already strained Dodgers rotation is going to get a bit weaker, although they're likely to get Blake Snell and Co. back fairly soon. So, you know, who knows as far as that is concerned. And I think the Dodgers will be just fine without him on the mound. He's still totally fine to bat, but pitching Shohei, you will not see quite as much. Corbin Carroll hyperextended his right elbow in the game yesterday. Should be just fine, but will be day-to-day. Casey Mize also left the game after a comebacker seemed to be precautionary. He also should be just fine. May miss a turn in the rotation, not quite sure. Steven Kolek, though, will not be just fine. He hits the 15-day IL with a strained forearm flexor from a previous injury. Couple rehab and recovery updates here. Ranger Suarez expected back on the 21st, so just in a couple days here. And Connor Prelip and DL Hall will both be on rehab assignments, actually starting yesterday. So no real transactions to know either yet. We're getting to that. The trade deadline is just about 13 days away as you're listening to this. So we're getting there, but not quite any big news yet. Obviously, we'll fill you in when it happens. We now move on to the notable performances, and there was a lot of good performances today if you were paying attention. I wasn't. I was watching the World Cup for 3 hours. Wish I kind of didn't. That game was horrendous. Spain won. I'm sure you know, but Spain won. Anyway, Hunter Goodman is my hitter of the day because he hit not one. He hit not two. He hit three balls over into the Colorado sky, 3-for-4 with three home runs. None of them cheapies either, all over 105 miles an hour. Home runs in 30 of 30 ballparks, barring one, which was in 29. So Chase Field, by the way, was the one it wasn't a home run in. Hunter Goodman has been fantastic as a catcher, especially just maximizing his fantasy value because he hits so many home runs as a big source of his production while still generating a good amount of average and whatnot. Great player overall, really impactful in your fantasy lineups and for the Rockets. Tyler Stevenson gave him a run for his money, though. 3-for-4 with two home runs. He just finishes shy of Goodman's day. It was the Reds versus the Rockies. So a lot of catchers doing some damage in Denver today. Dane Myers goes 2-for-2 with two walks and a double at the bottom of the Reds order. Really doing well here. That's, you know, one of those performances that just you got to give your flowers to. Tip of the hat for Dane Myers. The Dodgers and the Yankees played a doubleheader, and usually I add up the performances, but there weren't a ton of notable standouts. Not many guys had two good games one after the other. So we'll give this nod to Jazz Chisholm here. 2-for-7 with a double and a home run. So six total bases for Jazz. Alec Burleson goes 3-for-5. Blaze Jordan goes 3-for-5 with a triple. Bryce Eldridge goes 1-for-3, a home run and a walk. Cole Young gets a 2-for-4 home run day. Nolan Shanwell goes 3-for-5. But I wanted to note here, he's hitting .381 in the month of July. So obviously small sample, but Nolan Shanwell doing really hot right now in Anaheim. Kevin McGonigal goes 1-for-3 with a home run and a walk. James Wood does not do much here. 0-for-5 with three strikeouts. And I only want to note that he's 1-for-14 in his last few games post the All-Star break. So definitely rough for James Wood. If you remember, he had a dramatic fall off in the second half last year. We'll see if he avoids that in the coming weeks and months. CJ Abrams does not lose any steam, however. 2-for-4 with a home run and a walk. Alika Williams for the Athletics goes 2-for-3 in a pair of doubles. Alex Bregman on a great day for the Cubs, 2-for-4, home run and a walk. Michael Busch, 3-for-5 against his hometown Minnesota Twins. And Nico Horner, 2-for-5 with a triple, got 4 RBI. William Contreras didn't have many plate appearances, had two, made the most of it, gets a pinch hit walk-off three-run home run. He was a pinch hitter. It wasn't a pinch hit just in that moment. Nevertheless, is able to walk off the Marlins. Estruy Ruiz, 1-for-3 with a home run, his fifth of the year, has quietly tapped into a little bit of power, the speedster. Jack Caglione goes 2-for-4 with a home run and a double. The entire Padres offense, I want to mention here, 19 hits, 19 runs, 6 walks, 5 home runs, 1 hit by pitch. Padres offense, like, you can just look up and down the lineup. Everyone did well. A lot of times when you see someone, 19 runs, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has to do well there in order to make it work. Granted, some of those were really late in the game when it was already kind of blown open, but nevertheless, just ridiculous. And I'm just trying to pull up here because I forgot to mention it. If Fernando Tatis homered, yes, he did. So Tatis starting to tap into it a little bit, perhaps. I think it's the second home run in as many days, if I'm not mistaken. Liking to crush the Royals. Moving on, Jose Altuve, 2-for-4 with a home run and a double. Kobe Mayo, 2-for-4 and home run. Esmerlin Valdez staying red hot, 1-for-3 with a home run and a pair of walks. Billy Cook, one of the old-timiest names in baseball. Billy Cook right now, 3-for-4 with a triple and a stolen base at the bottom of the Pirates lineup, doing really well. Wyatt Langford goes 3-for-5 with a double and a home run. Drake Baldwin was not my player of the day. He maybe should have. But I didn't really feel like giving it to a Brave anyway. 5-for-5, 2 home runs and a stolen base. He was struggling since coming back from injury. He might have righted the ship. He might have righted the ship in one game. That's an outstanding performance, a career kind of performance for Baldwin. Austin Riley goes 3-for-4 with 2 home runs. Francisco Lindor, great day at the plate. 3-for-3, home run, double, 2 walks in a pretty nice Mets victory. Wilson Contreras goes 1-for-3 with a home run and a walk in the Red Sox 12th consecutive victory. And Colson Montgomery goes 2-for-4 with a home run to wrap up the notable performances at the plate. Check out the Daily Batters Box article for more information on all these hitters and then some. I'm taking a short break. I'll come back with my starters, the reliever report, and my preview of today's games. Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast. We now move on to recap the starting and pitching performances from yesterday, the namesake of the website. So we have a ton of notable performances from a ton of marquee pitchers. Tough to choose, but I think despite a couple really good ones, I think I made the right choice for my pitcher of the day. It's the tall, lanky, young pitcher in Miami. Yuri Perez had a great day at the plate. 6 innings, no earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, 9 Ks on 93 pitches, 17 whiffs, 39 CSW percent. Yuri has been really good the last few starts, and I don't think he's getting the attention he deserves. He's been a big part towards the Marlins kind of surge recently. His velo was up a tick. This is a gnarly start. I wrote it in all caps in the show run here. Just a gnarly start for Yuri Perez. He's my pitcher of the day for sure. Logan Gilbert goes 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 10 Ks, 95 pitches, 20 whiffs for the Seattle pitcher, 32 CSW percent. The ERA is not going to be great from this. Overall, though, I think you got to be happy. Look at the strikeouts to walks. Look at the few hits allowed. Look at the whiffs. Ugh! Logan Gilbert, when he's on, is really, really excellent. The fastball got hit pretty hard. I still don't think that dissuades you. It was only a couple of years ago he was one of the absolute premier pitchers in baseball, and he's still kind of that guy. The ever-shifting mantle of who's the best pitcher of Seattle may be flowing back Logan's way. Foster Griffin goes 7 innings, 1 earned run, 8 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks, 97 pitches, 8 whiffs, 24 CSW percent, BPLV. Foster Griffin continues to be really effective despite not a ton of swing and miss stuff, but he has a really good, it's a great example of how you can succeed without overpowering velocity, changing pitches, using a multitude of different breaking balls. Foster Griffin continuing to be really good. Hunter Green, it goes 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, no walks, 7 Ks, 94 pitches, 13 whiffs, 26 CSW percent. It's a Coors Field start. It's uniquely bad for Hunter Green. He depends a lot, not only on velocity, but ride on his fastball. And he did not have a lot of great velocity today. Only one pitch over 100 miles an hour. That's not great for Hunter Green. It's not a great start. Coors. Shota Imanaga goes 7 innings, no earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 99 pitches, 9 whiffs, 26 CSW percent. This was a lot of splitters. He was very splitter heavy in the start. Ended up working out really well for him. Not the most glamorous of outings with a few strikeouts and a few whiffs, but you absolutely take that because it means balls weren't going in the seats. Hunter Brown went 4 2/3, 4 earned runs, 3 hits. Get this, folks. 6 walks. 4 Ks, 92 pitches, 13 whiffs, 32 CSW percent. Yeah, I'll say that again. He had 6 walks. His walks per nine, Hunter Brown's this year, which is only 48 innings, but nevertheless, is 6.3 per nine. If you ever look at like Randy Johnson or Nolan Ryan, who had a reputation of being really erratic, like extremely erratic, their highest walks per nine was like 5. And or 4.5 or something like that. And even then, that was like really pushing it. This is ridiculous. He has been so poor with his command. And it's just absolutely devastating for everything about it. Like, he isn't able to be productive because not only can you not go deep into games, you can't, you have base runners all over. I mean, I don't need to tell you why walks are bad. This is rough. And I think you've got to consider, maybe, like, is he droppable in shallower leagues type of territory? That's the kind of thing we all talk about with Hunter Brown. Paul Skeens goes 7 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks, 100 pitches, 18 whiffs for Skeens, and a very fastball-heavy approach, 28 CSW percent. I think he needed this one. I think this is pretty important for Skeens, who has been sputtering a little bit lately, really struggling to find his groove, and he still isn't quite there, but definitely was able to rely on his fastball and have it work. I think it's really important for him, especially against a lefty heavy lineup where he can't, you know, go sweeper as much and he can't mix in the sinker very much. You know, like, it's got to be a lot more traditional with his pitch mix. Worked out well. Happy for him. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Some people are probably going to be upset that this wasn't the game of the day, but it's 9 innings. Got a complete game against the Yankees. 2 earned runs, 4 hits, no walks, 7 Ks on 102 pitches. Just 6 whiffs, though. 25 CSW percent. Like, damage wasn't really done against him. He didn't really do damage to the batters, but nevertheless, we take those, we move on. It's a great performance. Trey Yesavage goes 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts on 95 pitches. 21 whiffs. 40 CSW percent for Trey Yesavage. He is so dang weird. I like, you expect that line to be put him in pen. He's the pitcher of the day. This is one of those performances you're thinking, oh, it's 7 scoreless frames. 6 innings, 3 earned runs. Like, Yesavage has been really puzzling this year, and deeper dives are probably necessary as to why he's been so confounding. But yeah, the former like staff ace of the postseason Blue Jays from last year has been extremely bizarre. Is able to be effective here, nevertheless. But I don't know what to make of it. Normally, you love those whiffs and you think he's going to do a ton for you. Don't know about here. Anyway, if you want to know more about Trey Yesavage and all these pitchers and all the pitchers I didn't mention, be sure to give up the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick and Jake's daily SP roundups. We now move on to the reliever report, where I tell you who saved it and who blew it. Grant Taylor picks up his 5th save of the year for the Chicago White Sox. Grant Wolfram, a pitcher I didn't know existed, picks up his 1st save of the year for the Baltimore Orioles. I promise you, I know a lot of names as a result of hosting the show, and that's the first time that's come up, so I learned things too. Clayton Beter picks up his 8th save of the year for the Washington Nationals. Ryan Zephyrjian picks up his 3rd for the Anaheim Angels. That's not what they're called. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Already sell the team. Anthony Munoz picks up his 17th save of the year for the Seattle Mariners. Who blew it? The Cardinals blew it. And the Cardinals bullpen particularly, but I kind of just want to say like the whole pitching staff, because they had a 7-run lead and the Cardinals bullpen, 4 pitchers, 4 earned runs, 4 innings, 5 runs allowed. They end up losing 8-7. Brilliant work, Cardinals. Brilliant work. You've made Nate Schwartz cry. That's the brief reliever report. Not a lot of saves today. Be sure to check out Rick Graham's weekly articles for information about the closer and save situations everywhere in baseball, as we now look forward to the slate of games for tomorrow. The Orioles at the Red Sox. It is Shane Boz versus Peyton Tolley. The Dodgers at the Phillies. And Sheehan versus Christopher Sanchez. And the White Sox at the Rangers. It is Eric Fetty versus Jacob DeGrom. All great matchups. But my game of the day is going to be the Mets at the Brewers. It is Freddy Peralta returning to Milwaukee to face off against Jacob Mizorowski, which should be a high-flying affair. That's my game of the day, and that's the First Pitch podcast for today. For more information on everything baseball, hop on to pitchlist.com. For further access, sign up for PL Plus, PL Pro to gain access to the Discord, PLV apps, and to support the Pitchlist staff. Finally, my name is Carson Picard. You support me on the website, formerly known as Twitter, and find me on the Shell podcast, my great co-host, Eric Henriksen. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with the rest of your weeks. Bless the knees, bless the elbows, and take care, you guys.